Thank you for downloading this CE program. You can find the CE programs and others on rad-cast.com. You can also listen to our premier program, Turner Talks. The Turner Talk webinar programs are aired on Tuesdays at noon Central Time. To join a noon Turner Talk webinar, go to rad-cast.com. Programs are eligible for CE credits towards your licensure. CE credits will be awarded to individuals who have opted to redeem course credits via the a la carte option or the RadCast All Access Pass subscription, and if you've completed the program post-test with a passing score. Just as a reminder, track all of your CE credits with the CE wallet on rad-cast.com, where we'll help you track all of your credits that you've completed on RadCast and from other providers as well. Have a topic that you'd like to see us do on show? Send an email to client.support@radcast.com and let us know your ideas, because we want to be your education partner.
Hi, welcome to Altus Learn. I am Randy Marquis, and my presentation for today is Multimodality Imaging, Simulation, and Treatment Planning. This presentation will be helpful for the diagnostic imaging professional as well as the radiation therapy community. A little bit about my background is I am a certified medical dosimetrist, a radiation therapist. I also have licenses in radiology, CT, and mammography. I'm also a certified professional coder. So I've been in the oncology profession 30 plus years, and I started out as a radiology tech and kind of moved through the ranks from there. I thoroughly enjoy this profession because we have changed with new technology by leaps and bounds, even in the last 5 years. As you can see by my presentation, it's very important in the radiation therapy profession to be able to learn new challenging imaging modalities and treatment planning techniques and tools. As the equipment evolves, so must we. Images that we use for simulation consist of CT scans, PET CT, nuclear med, MRI, and ultrasounds. CT imaging for simulation is the gold standard for treatment planning because we use Hounsfield units for the dose calculations. Electron densities are required for the calculation algorithms on the treatment planning system at the time of commissioning. Those electron densities are determined and verified by the ED Phantom, which has many different tissue equivalent plugs, such as bone, water, air, and soft tissue. Multi-slice scanning allows for acquisition of thinner slice thicknesses and faster scan times. The thinner the slice thickness will make better volumetric reconstructions for sagittal and coronal images. This is a comparison of slice thickness. DRR image quality, DRR stands for digitally reconstructed radiograph. And as you can see, the 5 millimeter slice thickness is a little more grainy than the 0.8 millimeter slice thickness. We typically use 2 to 3 millimeters for treatment planning. Oral and IV contrast for simulation may sometimes be used. If we use oral contrast, it needs to be diluted to a lower percentage concentration for simulation over diagnostic CT. The reason is artifact that can be produced on the treatment planning images. We may need to adjust our IV injection rate and scanning protocols to minimize artifacts from a bolus effect. Contrast can affect the heterogeneity corrections if those images are used for treatment planning. So we have to contour the organ or the artifact, and we give it a Hounsfield unit of 1, which is equivalent to water. New scanning software has MAR technology, which is metal artifact reduction. PET CT imaging can be used for treatment planning. PET is a biological imaging modality versus the anatomical imaging modality that CT provides. The beauty of the PET CT scanner is that it combines both functionalities. CT provides the anatomic reference for the PET images that we did not have commercially before 2002. And standard PET CT scan uses FDG, which is a glucose tag. Most oncologic tumors use glucose to reproduce, and that's why it can pick up the cancer cells in the body. Contrast use in PET can be controversial in some clinics because the oral contrast can increase peristalsis, which is seen as activity on PET scans and can cause artifacts as well. This is an image or example of the bolus effect that IV contrast can cause in the chest. And this is the PET image, and you can see the bolus effect showing up as a positive on the PET scans. And then this is the non-attenuated PET image, which shows that that is not a valid concern. So it shows up as nothing here. This is the oral contrast in the stomach. And again, it shows up positive on the PET scan, but on the non-attenuated corrected PET scan, it's gone. So if we were planning this, we would have to contour out this contrast and give it a Hounsfield unit of 1. And then the bottom images show a negative contrast, which is mostly water that will distend the small bowel so that we can tell the small bowel from other soft tissue densities in the abdomen. 4D scans were made possible with the advent of the multi-slice CT scanners. Pitch is how fast the table moves, and rotation is how fast the tube rotates. Both are slowed down so that the scans are acquired over 120 seconds. And that allows for breathing so that you can catch your different breathing cycles. So the first set of CTs is acquired for the full length of the required scan set, and then the 4D scan is usually shorter in length. This also increases the patient exposure, so don't forget about ELARA. Gating is also used with the 4D scans. And gating can use a camera and an external apparatus or bellows to monitor the breathing cycle. Gating can be used to acquire the scans and also during the delivery of the treatment. So the treatment is only delivered at a preset breath cycle. It turns the LINAC on and off if the breathing cycle is outside of that preset cycle. This helps to keep the margins smaller around the tumor and less dose to the surrounding tissue and critical structures. It's also known as the internal tumor volume. Resolution. CT scanners have a 1 millimeter resolution, which is a high geometric accuracy, but lymph nodes are not considered abnormal until they hit 1 centimeter in size. So CT has high resolution, but it has low contrast, which we'll explain later. PET scans have a 6 to 7 millimeter resolution, which accounts for the difference in size on the respecting scans. PET scans have a 6 to 7 millimeter resolution, which accounts for the size difference between CT images and PET images. But PET scans can detect FDG in lymph nodes smaller than sub-centimeter, which proves involvement of cancer cells. Staging scans can help determine surgical candidates or define radiation portals, as we need to include lymph node chains or not. So if you have positive lymph nodes, that may determine that a patient is not a surgical candidate. And we also know that we need to include those lymph nodes in the radiation portals. Again, this is an example of a PET scan versus CT scan. And as you can see, the yellow volume is what was drawn per the CT imaging, but the red volume is what was drawn based on the PET imaging, because PET proved that there was positive lymph nodes in the mediastinum. The main goal of treatment planning is to accurately and precisely localize your tumor volume. Accurate treatment delivery will result in better local control and ultimate survival of your patient. It also reduces dose to the surrounding normal tissue and critical structures. Here's some image comparisons of the different modalities. CT has better geometric accuracy. PET is superior for evaluating the physiological processes. MRI is superior for imaging soft tissue differences. It has better contrast than CT. Ultrasound is good for evaluating soft tissue and organ densities, which could be solid versus cystic. And then MRI and ultrasound provide no extra radiation dose when used for IGRT, which is image-guided radiation therapy. Fusion software has been developed, which allows us to fuse different image modalities for viewing and treatment planning. So rigid fusion is usually what your daily IGRT software is. We have CT, KV imaging, ultrasound, and MRI, which is most scanning software utilized on a daily basis. Deformable fusion can morph the contours of the secondary image set to the CT treatment planning set. And when that is necessary is because we have a flat couch that we use for radiation treatment delivery versus curved couches, which are used on the diagnostic imaging equipment, and are the patient may be angulated differently for the diagnostic scan versus the radiation treatment. The secondary image set is fused with the primary image set and is used for the treatment planning. This is an example of a patient that had a previous radiation treatment, and we were able to fuse the patient from the flat couch images with their new diagnostic prostascent, which is a nuclear med scan, using deformable registration. And we were able to show the doses from the previous treatment. So this patient also has a hip replacement here, which is why the doses are all pushed over, because we do not treat through typically hip replacements. And you see more dose over here that went through the other side. We have different types of fusion scenarios. So images that are acquired at the same time is the ideal fusion scenario. So that's if you have a PET CT that you do your simulations on, or possibly a MRI that you do your simulations on. That would be the ideal scenario. And the other reason is you have bowel and bladder that can be significantly in different places or different fill volumes from day to day or even hour to hour, and then you're trying to fuse those organs. So no patient movement between the scans is ideal. Prostascent scans and F18 bone scans that are acquired on your PET CT scanners or your SPECT scanners can be done with a flat couch. And images that are acquired at different times introduce fusion errors because you may or may not have immobilization. We talked about patient angulation and so on. So if you can fit your diagnostic scanners with a flat couch for radiation compatibility, that is the most ideal scenario. Why do I need to know about different types of imaging? Because therapists are now expected to understand and use multiple imaging modalities for their daily IGRT simulation and for treatment planning. These are images of port films that was the only type of imaging that we had when radiation initially started. On the A side, you have your KV image that was taken on an X-ray sim. We would draw blocks off of that image. And then on the B side, that is a representation of a treatment portal taken with MV image on the LINAC. So the only fusion we did was from eyeball to eyeball on this particular scenario. So when you're doing simulations, you need to optimize your CT technique so that you can achieve the highest quality image. The patient's arms are either up or down, depending on the area of interest. You need to adjust your protocol, depending on if you're using immobilization or contrast, your slice thickness, etc. Stereotactic radiation needs more stringent immobilization. The simulation software and lasers on scanners now allow for marking the patient at the time of the simulation scan. That's called setting your isocenter. And CT sim workstations are capable of fusing images as well. To optimize your images, you may need to increase your MA for CT scans that are acquired at the time of the PET CT, because those are usually a low dose scanning protocol for the CT images. And you might even see on a PET CT report, the radiologist has a disclaimer that says these are not diagnostic quality. So in order to improve that quality, you would need to increase your MA. You may need to increase your MA for larger patient population. If you use a smaller slice thickness so that it can generate higher resolution DRRs, you may need to increase your MA because you also introduce more noise. And if you can work with your other diagnostic departments to standardize patient positioning, especially when they know they're doing initial diagnostic scans on positive cancer patients, that will greatly improve the radiation treatment planning process and maybe keep your patient from having to go through another scan. So target volumes. We need to localize our GTV, which is the gross tumor volume, for treatment planning. We need to localize the anatomic and biologic target volume as determined by your PET CT scan. You may need to localize a pre-surgical tumor volume, such as seen on an MRI brain. And sometimes you can localize a smaller target because the prostate on ultrasound or MRI looks smaller than it does on CT. Daily imaging can assess the changing target volumes as seen on an ultrasound, MRI, or the CT acquisition. You can assess the response to radiation on your daily IGRT images. And now they can do what they call adaptive planning. So as the tumor volume shrinks, you can then replan the treatment delivery on the fly. Some of the caveats of imaging are as follows. HET resolution is larger than CT, so the tumor volume may look larger. Uptake or inflammation or infection may increase the tumor volume on PET. CT densities are similar between organs and normal tissue, hence the low contrast. You have observer variability in tumor volumes on PET. You need to use appropriate window level settings, maybe set standards. There is no one perfect imaging modality to be used. It's up to the clinical judgment of the oncologist as to which modality to choose. This is an example of observer variability. As you can see on CT, there are three different tumor volumes drawn here for this head and neck cancer. And on PET, you can see that the green one seems to look a little closer to reality. On your sagittal image here at the bottom, you can also see that one of the tumors drawn went way superior, and another one came out here for this red volume. And then on the PET, you can see which contour was closest. Again, this is another example for a lung, and this shows that without standard windows for PET, you can actually vary your tumor size. So in C here, this is what they call a smaller window, which increases the look of the tumor here versus what we saw up here on B. So next, we're going to talk about examples of imaging techniques that we use in simulation and treatment planning. And we'll kind of start at the top of the body and work our way down. So MRI scans are best for delineating the contrast resolution between normal brain tissue and tumor, are highlighting bone marrow involvement. Bone marrow involvement shows up very bright on MRI scans. CT scans with contrast can sometimes be helpful in separating tissue contrast. A lot of times you need scans pre and post-op so that you can encompass the entire tumor bed in brain tumor irradiation. And some of the techniques they use are SRS, gamma knife, and CyberKnife, which rely on MRI images. So deformable registration that we talked about earlier is a must because the patient will not be in the same position for their diagnostic image as they will for their simulation most of the times. The MRI, though, is done on the same day as treatment planning for the gamma knife or the cyber knife. And then with SRS, it has a very stringent patient immobilization. So this is an example of CT treatment planning and scans fused with MRI for an SRS case. And you can see at the top, the CT scans has no contrast, low resolution, so you really can't determine where that tumor is sitting there. Then on the middle scans, you can see on the MRI. And again, then this bottom scan is MRI with contrast, but it also has the CTs fused with it. So head and neck cancers. PET CT is an excellent modality for head and neck cancers because it can eliminate artifacts from surrounding dental work to better visualize the tumor. You may need to scan for tumor volumes before patient is given neoadjuvant chemotherapy, because again, once the tumor is eradicated with the chemotherapy, you may not know where your margins need to be for your radiation portals. You can assess lymph nodes for positive lymph node involvement for your radiation portals if needed. And you can find unknown primaries. A lot of times patients will present with lymph node involvement, but we don't know where the primary is. And PET CT is excellent at finding that unknown primary. Here's a case of head and neck with fusion to PET scans. And you can kind of see some thickening up here, but not really sure exactly what the tumor encompasses. The middle scans is PET only. And then the bottom scans is your PET CT fusion. This is an example of radiation fields that we used to treat. You can see that we would treat the anterior tumor, the posterior lymph node chain, same here. And then this was the supraclavicular lymph node chain that we would treat. So now that we use IMRT, and this is an example of 9 fields, you don't really see these well-defined portals like we used to. But it is encompassing all of the lymph node chain and the primary tumor. For the esophagus, the tumor volume is usually decreased when you use PET for localization of the tumor volume. Lymph node involvement can usually be detected on PET versus CT. And there was a study in the Red Journal that compared the CT visualized length to the PET CT length using the 2.5 SUV cutoff. That's that window level we talked about. And then they compared these to the gross specimen. The CT was comparable in only 32% of the patients. And if they used an esophagogram, then it increased to 59%. However, the PET was accurate within less than 2 centimeters of the specimen. So that's pretty significant. So this is an example of a mid-esophageal tumor with an upper cervical lymph node, and on CT scan, you very well may have overlooked this. You can see the tumor here, but on the PET scan, that area lights up. So now you can see that it is positive involvement. This is an example of the radiation fields that we would use for esophagus treatment. And on this example, you can see that, again, we have positive involvement here, but then PET also shows positive involvement up here, which would correspond to this area, which very easily could be overlooked on CT alone. Once we get into the chest, now we're going to use that 4D imaging with gating that we talked about. So we have a PET CTV, which CTV stands for clinical tumor volume, versus your CT CTV. So the differences will be in the imaging and will determine the tumor volume for accuracy. So again, PET So we're going to talk about PET CTV versus CT CTV. And because of the differences in the imaging, it will change the determination for the tumor volume and improve accuracy by utilizing PET. We can also assess lymph nodes to be used in radiation portals. If the lymph nodes are negative, then we can decrease our radiation portal and reduce dose to structures that do not need to be irradiated. So this is an example of the tumor volume on PET versus CT. So PET determined that only this area was positive, and this area on the CT was not. It could be atelectasis, pleural effusion, but it was not necessary to include this in the treatment portal. And then at the bottom, you can see the difference in the orange volume, which was determined from the PET scan, versus the large yellow volume that would have been irradiated if CT alone would have been utilized. So this is an example of a positive lung-based mass, and also PET showed positive mediastinal mass. These are examples of radiation portals and included lymph node fields that we typically treated. But PET CT has decreased the need to irradiate lymph nodes due to unknown involvement, because now we can tell if the lymph nodes are involved or not, and we can spare more lung for the patient. So PET for breast usually is just used for staging and monitoring treatment response, but it may identify mets that are in need of immediate radiation. So inner quadrant tumors, we do PET CT to assess the internal mammary lymph nodes for inclusion in the radiation portals. We can identify the tumor bed before surgery and chemo, so that when we do the radiation boost later, we can be more accurate in placing that portal field. Once surgery and chemotherapy are done prior to radiation, it can be hard to find the actual tumor bed for this boost portal. We may need to use ultrasound as daily IGRT to view a seroma or the bed, and we could use MRI for daily IGRT as well. So DBHI is deep breath hold inhalation. It's a technique that can be used to reduce dose to the lung and heart when we are treating breast fields. So anything in the abdomen because of breathing cycle can utilize 4D imaging and gating. So again, we can use PET versus CT for our tumor volume accuracy, and we can assess the lymph nodes for radiation portals. So this is an example of cholangiocarcinoma, and this is PET CT and CT fused. So you can see this area is positive on PET so that our radiation fields can be determined. Once we get into the pelvis, then we can treat rectal and anal cancers, and we can utilize PET to visualize the tumor volume. And as you can see here on this example, this being the CT, this is a coronal for CT, it's hard to determine where that tumor volume is. But now once you utilize the PET image, everything lights up and you know exactly where to place your radiation field. For prostate, CT images with contrast will help delineate the prostatic urethra and the apex of the prostate. You may need gold seeds or fiducials implanted prior to the simulation, which are used for visualization on your daily IGRT. Ultrasound images can be acquired at the time of the CT sim for fusion prior to treatment, because both images are acquired at the same time. if you are using ultrasound as your daily IGRT modality. You can do a post-void ultrasound to identify any bladder retention issues prior to the patient starting radiation treatment. A lot of prostate cancer patients have retention issues that they aren't even aware of, and they have problems urinating. A new technique is the spaced OAR. It's a gel that separates the prostate from the rectum, which reduces the dose to the rectum, and then it dissolves in 3 to 6 months. And that is especially important if you're going to do SBRT or any hypofractionation, because that's higher daily dose of radiation. This is an example of the Clarity ultrasound that's utilized for prostate volume treatment planning. So we have prostate here, and then you have, this is the planned tumor volume here, and then a rectum. So this is your sagittal, and this is a fused ultrasound and CT. The ultrasound image only goes to here. And then this is a coronal view. This here would be the bladder with contrast in the bladder. This is the ultrasound alone. And again, you can see prostate here, bladder here, and then this is a coronal image. So for prostate treatment planning, the fusion challenge is the bladder size. So it definitely will be in two different positions when scanned on different days, but we try to give the patient the same instructions for water consumption so that we could get as close as possible. But we definitely use deformable fusion in this scenario. The prostate floats with the bladder and rectum size. So as the bladder and rectum fill or shrink, that prostate kind of floats in there. And then other imaging modalities are a better choice for prostate imaging for initial diagnosis: MRI, ultrasound, nuclear medicine, because they can visualize tumor location, and then we can push dose to the positive tumor site. So here's an example of MRI CT fusion for prostate treatment planning in a patient with hip replacement and without that MAR technology on the CT. So we have all kinds of artifacts up here, which is obliterating the prostate bed. So that makes contouring a little difficult. Down here, we have an MRI where we can visualize the prostate nicely. You see a void here where the hip replacement is. And then the bottom scans are the fused CT and MRI, so that now we can contour and plan our treatment delivery. This is an example of bone mets and recurrent prostate bed tumor at the bladder. So this patient had radiation prior, but now has positive recurrence here and also bone mets in the spine. So that's a CT and MRI fusion. So there's also MRI, ultrasound, and CT fusion. The software provides fusion with staging MRI and ultrasound which is then used for biopsy of the prostate to better guide the urologist to the area of abnormality in order to acquire a more accurate biopsy sample. So the MRI can show the nodularity of the prostate that the ultrasound does not, but the urologist needs to use ultrasound when doing the prostate biopsies. So this way, using those two images make for a better guidance for the urologist. So MRI fusion with treatment planning CT can provide information for targeted dose escalation to the lobe of the prostate that has the most aggressive disease. So when we're planning radiation treatment, you usually get what we call a hotspot within the target volume. So if you're going to get a hotspot, why not push it to the area of positivity and do some dose escalation for that treatment? For GYN cancers, cervical cancer is the only approved GYN malignancy that we can use PET CT for. So a pre-treatment PET is used to evaluate the prognostic significance of the metabolic tumor volume. And what that means is that squamous cell cancers have a higher metabolic activity over non-squamous cell. And then poorly differentiated cancers have a higher SUV than the well-differentiated cell types. So by utilizing those scans, they can determine the aggressiveness of the treatment options that are needed for radiation and chemo. This is an example of a cervical cancer with involved periaortic lymph nodes, and it has a vaginal marker in place, which is this here. So genitourinary cancers, currently PET is not the standard of care for staging because of the peristalsis and the false positives that we get from the urinary tract with producing urine and so on. The FDG is taken up in the ureters, the kidneys, and the bladder, making it hard to determine if it is just uptake are positive activity. But PET CT is good for diagnosing metastatic disease, such as recurrence in the lymph nodes, periaortic, or bone mets. For lymphomas, FDG PET is invaluable in the management of Hodgkin's disease and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. PET scans can determine the metabolic activity or the response to treatment. The tumor volumes can be minimized for planning. And the caveat to this is low grade or MALT lymphomas are not as FDG avid, so they don't have a high uptake. So here's an example of an enlarged left inguinal lymph node here, and this is post-treatment. So seeing this on a CT scan, the radiologist was trying to determine if this is a positive recurrence or if it has not had complete resolution of treatment. So on the lower image here, this is the PET CT, and it did not show uptake, so this was not deemed active disease. For bone mets, PET is effective for planning disease that may not be visible on CT or X-ray. You can use PET scans to plan tighter margins around the spinal cord for spine mets. If you're doing an SRT or a retreat to the spine, you need to use immobilization. And the rule of thumb is if the bone mets are blastic, use the NucMed bone scan, and if they're sclerotic, use a PET scan. if bone marrow or spinal cord involvement is suspected, then MRI is superior to CT. Here's an example of multiple bone mets from prostate cancer on a PET scan. And you can see all the positive areas that are lighting up. This is an example of using PET CT for radiation planning for solitary spine met. Your upper images are your CT scans. And this is PET alone. And then we have your fused PET CT images here showing your positive spine met. And then the bottom images show the radiation field very tight around your spinal met. So this is an example of daily IGRT using the cone beam CT and fusion software. And here they're treating a lung. This is using brain lab imaging. Brain lab uses KV imaging to take images at a 45 degree orthogonal. And then it will give you table coordinates to shift to. This is an image from Clarity Ultrasound for the prostate that we've seen before. So the conclusion of our presentation today is that multiple modalities are useful for treatment planning. The best modality depends on the anatomy of interest. PET CT is invaluable for staging and treatment management of certain diseases. For MRI, MRI to be used for CNS and GYN brachytherapy. You can use ultrasound, MRI, and Nuke Med for prostate. And then PET CT for lung, esophagus, abdomen, and bone. That concludes our presentation today on multimodality imaging, simulation, and treatment planning. That concludes today's webinar. Thank you for attending. If you have any questions about today's content or about getting credit or anything with your account, please send an email to client.support@altuscampus.com. For folks interested in receiving credit for today's webinar, you should receive an email shortly after the conclusion of the webinar with a link to claim that credit. Thank you, and it's been a pleasure.